Sunday Edition, by 20-something, read by Hananobira. In breaking news surprising no one, Sharpie is a dick. Patrick is taking him out on a quick, Abby and Madeline approved, stop moping, you giant man baby, ramble around the city to distract Sharpie from the game he won't be playing in. Patrick can't deny Sharpie anything. It's the worst. So even though it's like ass freezing, they're just sort of idly wandering around Chicago, and Patrick mostly hopes that Sharpie has some secret destination in mind, because otherwise he's going to be a caner sickle in like 10 seconds. Even worse, because Sharpie is an old, feeble man, he wants like an actual fucking paper newspaper. Which means Patrick is freezing his nuts off as Sharpie actually fishes quarters out of his pockets into a battered machine. He is never doing Abby Sharp a favor ever again. Not even for Maddie time. Okay, maybe for Maddie time. But seriously, who and why is Sharpie? Come on, Patrick whines, unabashed. No one has actually bought a newspaper out of that thing since Gremlins came out. Patience, young peekaboo, Sharpie says, actually exchanging legal tender for the Sun-Times, which is like sign one that actual senility has set in. Fuck patience, I'm getting frostbite, Patrick gripes. Be good, or you're not getting the present I just got you, Sharpie says, his evil grin making Patrick feel even colder than he did before. He doesn't think he did anything terrible and newspaper-worthy. He's been really good, actually. You be good, or I'll leave you for my nap, Patrick says, herding Sharpie along carefully, mindful of his shoulder. You can't resist this, Sharpie says, gesturing to his face. Patrick laughs. I didn't even have a rookie crush on you, and I had, like, a rookie crush on everyone, Patrick says, which is hardly true. His rookie crush was entirely on Johnny, as was his sophomore crush, and his every year after that crush. It's sort of like an annual crush at this point. But he didn't even have time for Sharpie. That's the truth, at least. Kicking me while I'm down, Peaks, Sharpie says dramatically, sweeping a hand to his chest. How will I go home to my wife, who is infinitely more beautiful than you, and my baby, who is just infinitely beautiful, and face that life, knowing you never had a terrible rookie crush on me. Lots of people feel that way, Patrick says. You can start a club. We can donate the membership fees into getting you a fucking haircut, you monster, Sharpie says, slapping at the bill of Patrick's hat. No one knows what to do with the front of Patrick's hair, least of all Patrick, which is why he wears the hat. Can't change perfection, Patrick says, adjusting the ball cap carefully. So many things wrong with that sentence, Sharpie sighs. But he's leading them into some weird diner. So there's that. Patrick needs a, like, giant fucking coffee, just to start warming up. And, of course, because Sharpie is the most ill-mannered Canadian ever, he opens up the newspaper like he doesn't have the most entertaining thing in Chicago across the table from him anyway. He's totally pretending to read it just to make Patrick salty. But two can play at that game. So he snatches the Sunday inserts out of the folds, smirking at Sharpie. But he glances down, and staring up at him, looking like all of 18, and strangely soft and sweet, is Jonathan fucking Taves. The thing is, he knows Jonathan Taves. He literally saw him an hour ago. And he feels like he hardly knows who this person is, staring up at him in a fucking indecent Henley, hands on his ass, giving the camera this aw shucks look that Patrick has never seen before. This is like some CW version of Johnny, hair styled and fingers pressed into dark denim in a way that makes Patrick want to tuck his fingers in there too, and pull. This isn't the Johnny from years of bad hotel rooms and drooling on Patrick's couch, the Johnny to which Patrick has built up a hard-earned immunity. This is totally different, and Patrick is so fucking unprepared. And the worst possible person in the world to be having this epiphany in front of is sitting across the table, telling their waitress that his friend needs a glass of water. He's looking a little flushed. Patrick knows there's no scenario in which he escapes from this diner without wanting to die, so he just bites the bullet and looks at Sharpie. Sharpie is like fucking Santa Claus level twinkling at him. "Happy birthday, Pika Baby," Sharpie coos at him. "My birthday is in November, you asshole," Patrick counters, but he doesn't really have anything else. "It's early," Sharpie says, shrugging and dripping with hideous, awful joy. "Can we just not?" Patrick asks, totally in vain. "I don't know what you're talking about," Sharpie says, face morphing into a parody of innocence that instinctively sets Patrick's teeth on edge. "Go on, get it all out," Patrick grits out. "Kaner, I really have no idea," Sharpie insists, and refuses to engage. This is the fucking most bizarre day of his life. But Patrick isn't going to look a gift horse in the mouth, and gratefully drinks his coffee, wondering when Sharpie grew some common decency. Patrick should have, like, fucking done a dental exam on that goddamn gift horse, because when he shows up to the UC, his locker is literally a never-ending collage of fucking pictures of Johnny. Jesus fucking Christ, it's like a porno! The Johnnies look up at him, shirts straining over their chests, necks looking biteable, jaws looking strong and perfectly cut. Some of them are actually unbuttoning their ugly plaid shirts. He recognizes the tiles from years of showers. And this means that Johnny fucking did some kind of softcore photo shoot, steps away from where Patrick is now, and this cannot be dealt with, maybe ever. He knows he's mentally repeating himself at this point, but Johnny is looking up at him through his lashes and unbuttoning his shirt all over the locker. He's wearing a leather jacket in some of them. Patrick's automatic, instinctive response is to snatch them down, but... "You glued them?" Patrick demands of the locker room as a whole, because he knows this wasn't a one-man job. Shazi cranes his neck back and over to glance in, like he doesn't have accomplice written all over his face. "Whoa, dude, that's like some Fatal Attraction shit there." "I didn't," Patrick starts, before just putting his face in his hands, sitting down hard on the bench. This is what happens when you try to be a good person and shit. People think you've gone soft, and the whole fucking world turns on you. "So you saw the interview," Johnny says, totally without any emotion, from way too close. "I'd like to recommend the whole team for disciplinary action," Patrick says, refusing to take his face out of his hands. If he doesn't look at Johnny, maybe he'll go away. "Chin up, Kaner. Now you have something decent to look at in there," Johnny says, and through his fingers, Patrick can see him walk away to Corner Hammer to talk about PKs. Shazi is grinning at him, shades of Sharpie. "You're fucking dead to me," Patrick tells him. 30% seriously. "This is only the beginning," Shazi promises. Johnny doesn't ask about it, which Patrick is endlessly grateful for, but also a little worried by. But they've got more important things to think about, so maybe he's just super focused. And if Johnny can ignore all the little Johnnies staring at him, so can Patrick. It's a fucking tragedy of a game. The kind of first period he literally has nightmares about. And no points for the night, despite some promising action later. And there are 10 people crammed around his stall, wordlessly staring at the artistic display behind him. "Should we even ask, Patrick?" Tracy asks. Patrick sort of feels like he should just be able to say, "Sharpie," and that should explain everything. But he knows he has to pull something out of his ass, So he comes up with some joke about the guys teasing him about not making the front page of the magazine inside the newspaper. "No offense, Splash, but pick a better hawk next time," he says. They laugh with him easily enough, and instead ask him about taking the loss, even with a pair of goals and assist Patrick pulled out, which it should convey how little he wants to talk about the Johnny collage, that he would much rather talk about that. Patrick thinks he maybe catches Johnny watching him, but when he looks again, Johnny is talking to Crow, totally oblivious to Patrick's existence. He'll sweet-talk someone in maintenance into scraping the Johnnies off and whatever, they'll forget about it. Patrick should have guessed that Sharpie being on IR meant he would emphatically not forget about it. At random times of the day, he'll get a flurry of texts from Sharpie, all consisting of pictures from the magazine shoot. And when Patrick ignores Sharpie's texts, they start coming at him from every direction. "You!" he demands of Hossa, who just smiles at him sweetly. Fucking Slovaks. He'll open his bag, and there will be copies of the magazine layered across the top, then a secret printed-out picture, one of the extra slutty online-only shots, at the bottom, just when Patrick thinks he's gotten rid of them all. He gets a bunch in the fucking mail, finds them slipped under his hotel room door, nearly tripping on them on the way to get his breakfast. He sort of wants to whine about it to Johnny, but what would he even say? "Our teammates are weirdly invested in the inappropriate boner I have for you?" Johnny comes and sits next to him, though, unsolicited, while he's sulking and listening to Drake, and eyeballs him. "Something bugging you?" he asks, his serious captainly duties face on. "Your face," Patrick offers weakly, which is an awful chirp attempt, and also pretty true. Johnny snorts. "You're into it," he says, no hint of teasing in his voice, just absolute confidence. "As if," Patrick shoots back, but it sounds like, yeah, to him anyway, and he thinks his heart is beating so loudly Johnny has to be able to hear it. "You only want me for my body," Johnny says, deadpan, and Patrick feels like he's in an alternate universe where nothing makes sense. So he falls back on an old, reliable leer, waggling his eyebrows at Johnny and trying to make it look like a joke. "Ain't no romance here, baby, just chemistry," Patrick says. And instead of shooting some smart-ass comment back, Johnny just looks at him thoughtfully, hums, and wanders off. It's totally fucking weird, and the closest they come to talking about it. But Johnny isn't weird with him, just his normal Johnny self. And Patrick files it away under, "Jonathan Taves is fucking baffling," which is where 90% of his interactions with Johnny go. Meanwhile, they make the one where Johnny is mid-unbuttoning and looking up at the camera like he's daring it to sex him up, Patrick's lock screen photo. He puts a password on his phone. They do it again, and Patrick is fucking losing it. "Your password is always some variation on 1988, Patrick. Anyone can figure it out," Erica says, totally unsympathetic, when he calls to complain. Patrick scowls. "Not always," he lies. "Stop getting so annoyed, they'll stop," Erica says, because she's like a good person who doesn't understand that they'll never stop, unless maybe he kills them. "That's terrible advice. I'm hanging up," he tells her, and he can hear her laughing at him until he ends the call. The worst thing about it is that, despite being literally bombarded with the pictures, he's still not unaffected by them. He actually spent 20 whole minutes staring at them once, in the privacy of his own apartment, trying to figure out what it was about them that got under his skin. All of the conclusions he came to were unacceptable and embarrassing, though, using words like strangely vulnerable and private and knowing, all shit that Patrick had chugged 4 beers to erase from his mind. He also had resolutely not knocked one out thinking about Johnny after those beers either, which he thinks he deserves, like, a fucking medal for that. Like, obviously, Johnny looks criminally hot in them, but there are all these terrible things Patrick keeps reading into it. And that's probably the stupidest thing. Johnny was probably thinking about, like, fucking anything. Like, sandwiches. Who fucking knows? But his stupid face is ruining Patrick's life anyway. And he stupidly feels like he needs to, like, apologize to Johnny for dragging him into this dumb fucking Sharpie and Co. prank siege, which doesn't even make any sense because Patrick hasn't done anything wrong. But Johnny still hasn't said anything about it, and it's seriously fucking with Patrick's mind. So the next morning, he shoots Johnny a text, seeing if he's at home, because Patrick has to say something. He has no fucking clue what, but something. Johnny gives him the go-ahead to come over, and Patrick drives over like a fucking crazy person, starting stupid practice conversations in his head that are all super useless. And because Patrick is Patrick, when Johnny opens the door, he just blurts out, "So you haven't said anything about my giant freak crush on you and your picture in my locker and everywhere." Johnny stares at him. Hard. Patrick manages, because clearly he's got fucking nothing. "Come inside," Johnny says, grabbing Patrick by the wrist and making the invitation moot by forcibly dragging him in. As soon as the door is shut, Johnny, like, cages him in against the wall and demands, "Define crush." Patrick finds it really hard to filter with Johnny's face that close, so he just lets his mouth run. "Like, crush. Like, I've doodled our numbers together for 5 years, crush." "I thought you were writing 1988, Johnny says, still too close and so fucking weird. "Yeah, 19, Patrick says, pointing to Johnny and then himself. 88. There's not a lot of room to do that, though, so he mostly ends up poking his finger into Johnny's chest. "You like me," Johnny says, like he's checking, like that hasn't been obvious since 2007. "What part of Sharpie-made Shazzy cover my lockers and pictures of your face made that unclear?" Patrick asks, honestly bewildered. Johnny kisses him. Patrick is so not anticipating it, and he makes a truly unattractive noise of surprise. But Johnny doesn't seem to care, because he keeps kissing Patrick like it's the end of the world, like he can't get enough. Patrick is just lucky the wall is at his back, because he feels a little lightheaded, a little unsteady on his feet, Johnny's hands holding his waist, anchoring him in place. "Fucking finally," Johnny mutters against Patrick's mouth, like he's been waiting forever to kiss Patrick, and there is seriously something he's missing here. But Patrick can't bring himself to care. "You couldn't have done this at any point earlier," Patrick groans when Johnny starts kissing down his neck. "Wasn't sure," Johnny says, teeth scraping against Patrick's skin, and Patrick sighs. "I was a pretty sure thing," Patrick admits. Johnny snorts, then leans back to look at Patrick, which is the opposite of what Patrick wants. "I knew you were," he says. Patrick raises his eyebrows because rude, and Johnny is so full of it. "You just said," Patrick starts, and Johnny cuts him off with a biting kiss. "I knew I could get you into bed," Johnny says, which is cocky and wildly unattractive and so true. "I didn't want that. I didn't want just that." Patrick's breath catches in his throat. "What did do you want?" he asks. Johnny smirks at Patrick, and his blood instinctively burns a little hotter, flooding with irritation and arousal. "You know me, Kaner. When have I ever settled for less than exactly what I want?" he asks. "I don't give a shit if you want some fucking picture. I give a shit if you want me. Not just to blow off steam, not hooking up. If we do this, you're all in. You're mine." It hits Patrick hard. It's everything he never thought to ask for. Never thought he could ask for. Given up front. Demanded. "Fuck, Johnny. Like I'm gonna say no?" Patrick says, kissing him. Desperate for him. High on being wanted. On Johnny wanting him badly enough that just a little wouldn't do. "So tell me then," Johnny says, challenging. "What do you want?" "You," Patrick breathes out, and Johnny is kissing him, wet and promising, pulling him in tight. He takes the photo from an awkward MySpace angle, mid-kiss, and it's a little blurry, but it'll work.
"Happy birthday, I win,"
he writes later, mostly draped over Johnny's snoring ass, sending it to Sharpie. His phone buzzes in his hand a few seconds later.
"You're welcome,"
Sharpie sends back. Patrick is thinking of an appropriately crushing response when his phone vibrates again.
"Also, thanks for the new collage material."
Johnny is going to kill him. The end. And it goes like this.